Bobjohnsoninsurance.com/real.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs.
Is the natural gas used in Europe being used to fuel the prophecies of Ezekiel? Speaking of Ezekiel, Turkey might be emerging as a larger player in the end times. Is it time to look at abortion from a prophetic viewpoint? And is there a point to the Russian war with Ukraine beyond a land grab? Well, grab your Bible and we'll go to God's Word to answer those questions as we look at the Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, January 10th, 2025. You can listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with your friends. You can read the articles we talk about or even ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question. When you do this one simple thing, just visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. And now, here's someone to encourage men that a good wife will always be by your side during bad times. Mostly to remind you that none of this would have happened if you would just listen to her, and that's Pastor Mark, who all of his childhood punishments have now become his adult goals: eating vegetables, staying home, taking naps, and going to bed early.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
That's
isn't
exactly
that crazy?
What happens.
The
it is.
Circle of life
listen.
Is...
I've always said we came from dust. We
yes.
grow, and what happens? We go back to dust.
Yes.
The same way we start is the way we go out. But the good news is, if we know the Lord, we go out in glory. And so we get to start over again. And
yes,
that's great. I
yes.
love it. That was a
yeah.
good.
Oh, always joke going out in a blaze of glory.
There
right?
you go.
Yes,
there you
right.
go.
Well, let me use that as the segue. It's not a blaze of glory, but it's a blaze of gory, and that is what's happening in Southern California.
It's horrible.
And as well, it's what happened with President Trump today. And I know there's a couple of things you want to talk about there before we get into our articles.
Yeah, first of all, our hearts just go out to California. I'm just heartbroken watching these videos. It is devastating. I don't know. I have no words for what's going on there in California, and then even seeing some of the things today with some guy walking around with a blowtorch up there, and they're saying them. You know, I don't know where all these fires started, but you know, when you see a guy walking through your neighborhood with a blowtorch who looks like he's from the Middle East, this is very interesting what's happening, and I know that we have a lot of enemies around the world. And so we'll see what happens with these videos, if they determine who these people are, where they came from, what's going on. And again, it could just be locals. It may not be anything more than that. But I see this, Greg, and it's just devastating.
Well, you know, that really begs the question, could this be a coordinated act of terrorism?
I wonder if this is not a terrorist attack. I wonder. I'm starting to wonder because, I hadn't heard any of the theories about who it was, but right before the show started, I saw a video they caught of someone there walking around with a blowtorch. From the distance, it could, you know, who knows?
We don't know.
I can't make a judgment. All right, let me back up from that and say, we don't know. All I'm saying is that I don't care where you're from. You shouldn't be walking around with a blowtorch in California when fires are burning everything down and it doesn't look good. And I don't know if they're going to catch that guy, what happened and all that. I know he was confronted. Anyway, here's the bottom line. Our hearts are breaking for the people of California. And it is devastating. And you're seeing it, Greg, there's so much. It's not just a bad fire. You're talking about, and not just even houses burnt down, to go, okay, well, at least they had insurance. A lot of these people didn't have insurance. They had insurance issues where things got canceled. Prior to that, just right before these fires, you had to where they cut back the budget, as everyone knows, just right before these fires broke out, as far as budget for the fire department. There was bad management.
$17.5 million.
Yeah, so much bad management on just not having the water. There's so much going on that is just devastating. But again, it's the people's lives. People matter. This is, you know, we talked before the show. There's been this big populist movement that President Trump has been leading about make everything great again. I think we need to do a make people great again. And what do I mean by that? We put insects before people. We put fish before people. We put trees before people. We put rocks before people. We put the environment before people. No, people come first. They need to take care of the people of California. They need to take care of those who are not taking care of the people of California and put somebody in office that will take care of the people of California. I don't think Trump should make some hats that say make people great again, because right now it's insects are great, fish are great, everything else is great except what God said was great, and that is himself and people. The earth was made for mankind, and we're supposed to, again, as you can tell, I'm upset about this. It bothers me greatly. And truly, I hope the truth comes out about all the stuff that happened there. But in the same time, these people, Greg, think about it. If they lost their homes and they didn't have insurance, which we're understanding a lot of them did, if you look at that and go, what are they going to do? They have no money to go rebuild. Even if they go to a different state, they move out, and then what are they going to have to rebuild with? Nothing to rebuild with. What are they going to do? You say, okay, maybe some of them have a 401k. Well, what do they do? Take their retirement out to start their life over, and maybe that's not enough to build a house. Is it just to live right now? I mean, we need to be praying for God's mercy on these people to get restarted. And I want to say this as well. Look, as devastating as this is, God can use this for his glory. I know in my life, it was when everything just fell apart. My life was destroyed. That's when I turned to Christ. And as horrible as this is, if God uses this, which he will, for those who allow to hear his voice, God can use even this devastation where people lose everything like that. That could be a tool that God could use to drive them to you, so we could see eternal glory coming out of this horrible situation where man has messed it up here on earth. And that's what we want to pray, is that God would use this for his glory, and God would have mercy on those that are without. And God, again, as the Bible says, and a quite literal application, making beauty from ashes. And these people need beauty right now from ashes. And even before we go on, I want to just pray real quickly just for the people of California and for our brothers and sisters there, and for those that are not brothers and sisters. It's for all the people of California, and just for the churches there too that are going to need to be ministering in these areas. So, Lord, we do lift up the people of California, and we ask your mercy on them. I pray the church would rise to the occasion and minister to the needs that are there. I pray, God, that you would use this in a great way. God, for the believers that are there, I pray you encourage them to know that you are their insurance. You will take care of them, but comfort them, Lord, in this horrible devastation. God, for those there who don't know you, I pray you would use this, as horrible as it is. I pray you would turn it for your glory, and you would break them and bring them to cry out to you that they might be saved, that we would see truly beauty from ashes. I pray, God, that they would remove those that are in power that have caused this horrible thing, and that you would put people in that put people first, and stop putting all the animals and insects and trees and everything else, God, but putting people first, which, as you said, we're made in your image. And that's where your heart is, God. The people need to be loved. They need to be taken care of. And they need some people that will watch over them. God, raise up shepherds in California that will watch over the flock, and those that are not yet the flock, that they might be saved. Have mercy on them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, again, continue to pray. I know that you will out there. It just, the whole thing is just, again, such a mess. But keep praying. And that the truth would come out, you know, as far as how this thing started. Was this a terrorist attack? Is that maybe a lone wolf who just took advantage? He saw the fires and he grabbed a propane thing and went out to start another one. Some people do that. It may have nothing to do with terrorism. It may have nothing to do with the Middle East. It may have nothing to do with locally. It may have just some guy, who knows? But I'm saying, You know, we know we have a lot of enemies. We know that they take advantage of our weaknesses, and they're going to go.
A lot of people are in this country illegally.
We have let so many people in right now that hate our nation and that shouldn't be here, and they need to be removed from our country. And that's not an uncompassionate thing. That's called protecting your family and your people and the boundaries God has given you as a nation. Oh my goodness, I could go on. Let's just change gears here.
Okay, we'll go to President Trump now.
Because I don't want to take the whole show up in this. It's so upsetting to me. But now with that said, again, I want to mention, we talk about the elephant in the room. This isn't really prophetic, but there is a connection I want to make, and it will come into a question we have prophecy-wise later. But it is interesting, all that just happened with President Trump, maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't heard. He had this really ridiculous trial against him. It was all political.
Was it the hush money case?
He paid something that's legal to do, where you make an agreement with someone. If they take the money, then they're settled and get, you know, whatever it was. I don't know.
Okay.
And it was done legally through his accountant, and somehow they got it and twisted it and made it a conviction. And the bottom line is that here, 10 days before now he's inaugurated, they decided to go ahead and do the sentencing. It's all political show. It's also they can say, hey, he's a convicted felon. Look, this isn't about even right now at this moment trying to defend President Trump. This is defending America and the legal system of America. And if they can do it to our president, they can do it to you,
they
my
can
friends.
Do, exactly.
Everybody hearing this and beyond, they can do it to us. You get the wrong people in power that abuse that power. So this must be fought at every turn. It needs to be overturned. It's ridiculous. And again, they just want to say, okay, we know he's a convicted felon, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, again, the battle's not done. This thing, we're going to see this kind of stuff going on, I think, the whole time that he's there. But guys, remember, as believers now, this is a spiritual battle. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting a spiritual battle in the heavenlies. And we need to take up our heavenly armor and fight this thing. We need to be in prayer against darkness. And again, we know the world's going to get crazier and crazier until the Lord comes back, but we need to be praying for the Lord to continue to restrain until he comes and takes his church and removes that restraining, and for God to have mercy on us in the midst of it. So, and I'd also be praying for President Trump. Look, I know there's no doubt this man has done many things wrong, like I have and everyone else listening to this radio station. It's not about defending him. I don't even know all the details of what he was accused of. But the bottom line is, it's very obvious this is a political attack and it's a spiritual attack. And we need to be praying for our new president and for our country and for God to have mercy on us. So anyway, I tell you, I think we're about to head into some really crazy days coming into 2025 and beyond, Greg. And so we're going to do our best here at Signs of the Times to keep our listeners up to date about what's going on. And that's what we're going to be doing today.
Okay. Well, now let's get into some crazy stories.
Let's do it.
We've got a couple of stories here from Ezekiel 38 and 39. Our first one comes from Breitbart.com, dated January 1st. The cold shoulder. Ukraine ends Russian gas to Europe and energy prices spike. Pastor Mark, what is this all about?
Yeah, this is really, again, you know, you look what's happening here. We're going to have more than one article on Ukraine and Russia, but this is amazing, Greg, here, because this is where we've talked about the fact in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that there are going to be hooks in the jaw, the Bible says, that will pull Russia into this conflict down into Israel. And again, I think it's multiple hooks. I think it's going to be the gas reserves out there in the Mediterranean. It's going to be maybe the oil there in the Golan. But here we see now even the gas supplies they have, Ukraine is cutting this off, and it's going to make what's happening is Russia is becoming more isolated economically, and it's going to make them more desperate. Over 60% of their income comes through their gas supplies, where they sell those gas supplies. Now they're having trouble getting it. Look at this. Zero Russian gas is flowing to European customers through Ukrainian pipelines for the first time in decades. Well, let me take that back. They're not able to now send that gas out there. This is where they make their income. And so what's happening is they part of their income flow now has been shut down, and they're already hurting because of the war and everything else that's going on. They're going to need that gas flow. They're going to need that money. They're going to need to take over some of the reserves of the world so that people have to go to them. That's where the Mediterranean and the fines are off of Israel may come in as one of the hooks in the jaw to pull Russia into this. Notice it says, for the first time, it was shut down. Confirmation there was to be no last-minute deal to keep the route open, sending energy prices spiking on Tuesday. The route has seen billions of cubic feet of gas delivered since the end of the Cold War, and a five-year contract between Moscow and Kyiv, or however you say it now, governing the transit of gas continued to be observed, remarkably, right to the last moment when it expired at midnight. So they kept it flowing till literally it ran out at midnight and they shut the valves down. But no new contract has been signed, and Ukraine, though its state through its state media, has announced today they ceased the transportation of Russian natural gas through its territory in the interest of national security. Its energy minister said, "We have blocked the transit of Russian gas. This is an historic event. Russia's losing markets. It will suffer financial losses. Russia overlooked its own role with the invasion of the Ukraine and pointed all the blame at Kyiv for stopping the transit of energy to Europe, saying this, as Ukraine repeatedly and clearly refused to extend these agreements, Gazprom has deprived of the technical and legal ability to supply gas for transit through Ukraine from January 1st, 2025. The supply of Russian gas for its transportation through Ukraine stopped at 8 a.m. Moscow time. It says, indeed, according to the Times, Russia, now get this, is due to lose $5 billion in gas sales a year. Russia's not a country like we are. Listen, $5 billion is a lot of money for America, but Russia can't handle this kind of stuff. If the pipeline shuts down, it's $5 billion a year, assuming it can't find alternative routes and markets for the product, according to what Moscow has done recently. So the bottom line is now you're seeing more and more pressure. Again, prophetically, Ezekiel 30 and 39, more pressure on Russia, turning up the heat without gas to do it on Russia so that they can be hooks in the jaw and, again, be pulled into this battle. This is just another thing to stoke the problem here. It's going to make it even worse, Greg.
All right. All Israel News, dated January 1st, has an article about the Nagel or Noggle Commission, warning Israel of a possible war with Turkey, even as it calls for confronting Iran.
Yes, very interesting. This is, Turkey is really getting involved in this whole, they're making threats against Israel. Now, remember, they're both NATO members. Israel and Turkey, that's NATO fighting NATO. And if NATO goes against NATO, the other NATO countries have to defend anybody where NATO comes against them. So I don't know that they're going to do it, but Turkey wants to retake. If you remember, Turkey briefly controlled, I say briefly, for 400 years or so, controlled Jerusalem, then the Ottoman Empire, and they want to do it again. And again, Israeli government commission, it says, published a strident warning about the possibility of a conflict with Turkey in its latest report. The commission was established in 2023 before the outbreak of the war to create recommendations for the defense ministry regarding the possible areas of conflict facing Israel in the recent years ahead. While the report focuses the most attention on Iran as the largest threat facing Israel in the coming years, it also contained a sober warning about the possibility of a conflict with Turkey. Well, let me tell you, it's going to happen, guys. Especially following the overflow, it says, of the regime of Bashar al-Assad, the rise of Turkish-affiliated rebel groups to lead the new government. Listen, let me say this in this article. Turkey will move in war against Israel. Now, whether or not they'll try to do that on their own, I doubt it. But they will be joined in with Iran. They will be joined in with Russia and with Libya and Sudan. The Bible's clear on that, Ezekiel 38 and 39. So there is going to be a Turkish move. I don't anticipate Turkey trying to make a move, Greg, until they have all these other countries backing them, because they know that Israel will pound them, and they can't take on Israel, and they would be foolish to. And plus, we know they're going to be joining in with the others. It's possible there's something left out prophetically. We don't know, but I don't expect this.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that really Ezekiel intimates that Russia and Iran are going to be the ones leading this invasion.
Yes.
And Turkey will be in tow, so to speak, along with these other countries. I can't imagine Turkey doing something rogue.
Yes.
Or taking the lead in any way.
Yes.
In terms of fulfilling the prophecy of Ezekiel, not to say that they wouldn't do something outside of that.
You're right. There could be some of the small battle before then, but I think you're right. I think this is more of Tofurkey that's happening here, as you said.
Okay,
so I agree.
That deserves a remix. That was good.
You may be a businessman. This always makes me want to sing.
Go ahead. Just go ahead.
All right,
we've got time.
Yeah, but it's going to have to serve somebody. Let's just keep going. Yeah, I'm going to have to serve somebody. All right, go ahead. I got it out of my system. It's out.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
You want to keep going? There's something.
No. The music's going to fade.
I never was a big Bob Dylan fan.
That was your opportunity.
Yeah,
I was never
even really a Bob Dylan fan. That's not it. It's not about I love Bob Dylan. It's like you have to sing that way. Anybody that can make money singing that way, that's a gift.
That is a gift.
And so,
or really good marketing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Either way,
Breitbart.com, dated January 1st, is letting us know that abortion is the leading global cause of death in 2024. With over 45 million innocent children murdered in the wombs of their mothers.
How sad. The greatest cause of death, people killing people. which we've seen since the fall in the garden, wow. Beginning with Cain and Abel. And again, we still see people killing people, murdering people, the greatest death. Again, this just shows you mankind, the sin of mankind, the fall of mankind. This is what the Lord's going to come back and make right. But it breaks your heart because here's the thing. Murder's bad enough between adults, but when you see babies murdered, that's ripping.
Supposed to be in the safest place.
It rips at your heart because that's supposed to be a place. God created a place they'd be protected and hidden till they could grow and form and then be born and have a life. And yet we still have this happening. Abortion, it says, as you said, Greg, was the leading killer. As of noon on December 31st, 2024, there were 45.1 million abortions performed in the course of a year. How can God not judge this earth?
Exactly.
You guys think God's not going to judge? How can he not judge it? And look, we're guilty as well. We all should be judged. I should be judged. The only reason I'm not being judged is the blood of Christ. So I'm not judging these people saying they all need to be. I'm saying all of us should be judged. It's the blood of Christ. But how horrible a statement it is against mankind. 41.5 million abortions on the worldometer revealed. The worldometer. That's interesting.
That's an interesting thing, yeah.
Yeah, the worldometer. While 8.2 million people died from cancer, 5 million from smoking, 1.7 million from HIV/AIDS, 1.35 million from traffic fatalities, and 1.1 million from suicide. All these are tragic, but at least the others are things that just happen to mankind because of a fallen world. It's not mankind.
But nothing comes close to this.
I know.
Statistically.
It really is amazing. Totaling all the deaths in the world from causes other than abortion reveals a figure of 62.5 million, meaning that abortions account for just over 42% of all human deaths in 2024. Unbelievable.
The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
You know, Greg, it's interesting because just today that you said that, because the other verse, Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning.
Yes.
And when I see, and I wasn't thinking of it in the sense even of abortion at that point, but you look at all the murder that's going on right now around the world, just the brutal murder, and this Satan's behind all of this. Yeah. I'm not taking the guilt away from man.
No.
But he was a murderer, and he's still a murderer, and he's gonna come in pretending to be the Messiah. And through the Antichrist, and he's going to murder more of the Jews and God's people and everyone else. I mean, this whole thing, I can't wait till God just puts an end to all of it and just rules and reigns in glory. And I'm just so excited. It could happen any moment. Let's be ready, gang, for the Lord's return. Could happen any moment.
Amen.
Are we going too fast? Are we going too fast?
We might be a little bit. Well,
I'm talking a million miles a minute.
But you want to know what? There's not a lot of articles this week either.
Yeah, well, there's so much going on, so we can talk.
That's
but either
okay.
way, yeah.
Well, you know, this is kind of dovetail to your rant and rave at the very beginning.
Yeah, which is that's one of the names we thought about, rant and rave.
Rant and rave, yes.
Here's the rant and rave show. Rant, yes, you go ahead, I'll rave after that.
That's fantastic. Well, let me rant on this because this is from the Jewish News Syndicate. Dated January 4th, or in Jewish time, the 5th of Tevet, 5785.
Wow.
That's what it says right here on the thing.
Yeah, very
interesting.
I don't agree with their dating, but it was the 5th of Tevet.
Yeah.
Which today's the 10th of Tevet, because we're just that month.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And the days are lining up actually this month, so that's interesting. Doesn't usually line up that way, but it is. So we're on the 10th of Tevet now. That was 5 days ago, but again, they're dating them. I think they're wrong on their calendar as far as creation.
Yes.
Because the other number is supposedly from creation.
You know what would be very interesting is if Chuck Missler was still with us, he would be the guy to give us any kind of discernment about these numbers.
We could use Chuck right now.
We could use Chuck
yes,
right now,
that
absolutely.
Would be great.
All right, well, what we can use is a new president because, according to this article, a former U.S. official is saying that the Biden administration is planning an anti-Israel, quote-unquote, January surprise at the United Nations.
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, Greg, we always hear about the October surprise when you look at what's going to be happening. And
October 7th, you're talking about?
Well, no, every year for elections.
Oh, gotcha.
They call it an October surprise, although that was a horrible surprise, but that wasn't what I was referring to. They called it an October surprise because, again, there's something they wait till the last minute that they throw out there to try to ruin a candidate. For example, typically what happened today with President Trump would have been done in October before the election.
Gotcha,
And they tried to, remember, but it got delayed.
Yes.
Today was the October surprise that was delayed, okay?
Yeah.
So this is now President Biden's, they say, is planning a January surprise, and it's on multiple outlets, not just that one. I saw it on another outlet as well. A former UN official says, listen to what it says, the Biden administration, this just shows his hatred for Israel and for God. The Biden administration is planning a January surprise that is modeled directly on the January surprise of the Obama administration in 2016, that is the UN. Resolution 666, I'm just kidding. I couldn't help that. It's Resolution 2334, which basically, to put it a little bit crudely, the article says, recognize the green line that is the June 5th, 1967 ceasefire lines that separated Israel from Jordan as an international boundary. Michael Duran, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and director of its Center of Peace and Security in the Middle East, said on his podcast on December 31st, speaking to his co-host, Gadi Taub, an Israeli historian and writer, Duran said that the Obama administration's surprise meant that any development that Israel has made to the east of the Green Line since 1967 war is recognized by the UN as an illegal settlement. So they say that anything beyond that is illegal settlement, which is a huge portion of Israel today. I'll get to that in just a moment. But listen to what it says. This means including the Western Wall is occupied territory to them. The former senior director of the U.S. National Security Council said on the Israeli Update podcast. Now, what's interesting about this, Greg, again, this is that whole spiritual battle about whose land it is and who it belongs to and all this. God said he's giving the land to Israel. He made an unconditional, unchanging, eternal promise. It's unconditional based on Genesis 15. It's unchanging based on Jeremiah 31. And it's eternal based on Isaiah or Ezekiel 36 and Isaiah 66, as well as others. We won't jump into those passages, but here's the bottom line. Satan says, oh yeah, watch this. And so he tries to usurp, he tries to fight, he tries to do away with God's word and God's plans. And so he sets all this stuff up, and this is a spiritual battle. Look, President Biden's the one behind this and the administration. However, this is a spiritual battle. This is Satan and the demonic realm doing this. They're trying to deny the promises of God to the children of Israel, as well as they tried to deny the promises of God to everyone, and they tried to deny the promises of God for salvation to everyone through Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what the demonic realm does. So, but isn't this just so Satan-esque of Satan to do? And I'm not calling President Biden Satan. Please don't misunderstand me. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities in heavenly places. I'm simply saying Satan and the demonic realm right now, they're doing everything they can before they know that an administration comes in that's going to be on the side of Israel. They're going to do everything they can to try to thwart the plan of God. This is demonic realm working. And so come in and again, you know, even try to ruin mankind by, you know, he recently just, President Biden, as you know, Greg, did all the offshore drilling, put a ban on all of it. So it can't be overturned for 70 years or something. So now Congress is going to have enough, big enough vote to get where we can even drill now in the ocean because of what President Biden just did. Even if Trump wants to, he can't.
Unless you're talking about new drilling?
Yes.
Okay.
And just banning it. But here's the bottom line. Again, that can be overturned. That's a whole other subject. But these are spiritual things.
Yes.
Why would Satan want to do this? Because it will cripple and destroy America. It will cripple and destroy mankind. People aren't doing this. They're not thinking. This is demonic. And now you got this whole thing going on here where he's saying, look, we're going to do this and go them back to the 67 lines. This is a spiritual attack. So remember, believers, put on your spiritual glasses. Rise up above the clouds. Don't look at people. Look at what's going on in the spiritual realm. The takeover of the world by Satan through the Antichrist and the destruction, the ultimate destruction of mankind, the murderer from the beginning, the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy, as you talked about earlier. This is the one running this whole show and doing this whole thing. So, you know, God's got him on a leash, but he's doing it. But again, understand the 67 lines. This argument comes up very often. They need to go back to the 67 lines. Understand the 67 lines are untenable. What I mean, you cannot live. It's not about, first of all, they've got a tiny portion of land. Now what we're saying is take the tiny portion they have and take more away from them. Greg, at one point with the 67 lines, it was 8 miles across the state of Israel.
Exactly.
8 miles across.
Exactly.
You couldn't even fire up your jet by the time you get off the runway. You're eight miles over. Now you're in enemy territory. It's not doable. It's not going to happen. They won't let it happen. That's worth going to war over. They will go to war over it. They're not going to let that happen. But this just shows you what the enemy's trying to do. He doesn't want to just squeeze them down to that. If he gets them to go there, then squeeze them completely into the ocean, as it says in the PLO charter.
Right.
He wants to push Israel and the Jews into the ocean, or into the sea, the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah.
So this is all spiritual. It's all demonic. And again, I'm hoping that when President Trump comes in, they'll end up getting more, declaring the territories they call the West Bank. That's Israel.
Yeah.
It's not the West Bank. It's Israel. And so I hope that they have boldness to declare that as sovereign territory once President Trump gets in power as well. Did you have something you were going to say there? Because I thought
what I was going to say was is that, you know, we've often talked about what will be the trigger for Ezekiel 38 and 39 to come together. And we've hypothesized from time to time in the past when stories like this have come up that it would be some sort of decree or legal declaration by the United Nations or some sort of recognized international body that says, okay, well, Israel has to be this way, and by that you get the warrant to come in and enforce that whatever that law is. So this type of thing right here could be the precipice of them coming in, or the precedent for them to come in and say, hey, listen, we've got to come in and enforce these borders because the United Nations, and so now you've got this coalition, and Russia raises their hands and says, we'll be willing to go in there and do that.
Yes.
And we've got some buddies that we can take with us.
Yes, you astute show host, you're exactly right. And I'll say this, we saw right now the ICC, International Criminal Court, doing this whole thing against Netanyahu. He wants to travel there to celebrate, you know, the victory over Germany and what happened in the Holocaust.
Yes.
And they're in Poland, and they're talking about they were going to arrest him if he came there.
Yes.
But now they've said, we'll give you passes. We won't arrest you. And they're giving these guarantees.
I don't believe them.
Well, again, the president of Poland said that. So I would feel safe on that one.
Okay.
But here's the bottom line. Here's the thing that just, you know, kills me about all this. These are criminals that are at the criminal court. And Greg, this is spiritual again.
It's the fox guarding the hen house.
Yes, this is not flesh and blood. This is Satan. This is demonic that's doing these things. And you're exactly right. I hadn't thought about that. But I can see how you could get, if they have any authority at all, them coming, you have this new law, we've agreed. If you go, now we can go in and take it because you've breached international law. And right now, they have a president coming in that's going to defend them and would keep that from happening. Who knows what's going to happen next? What happens if President Trump doesn't make it through 4 years? They're going to try to kill him the whole time. What happens if he doesn't make it? Even if he gets 4 years, what happens with the next guy that's coming in or the next lady that's coming in or whatever the case might be?
Well, you've got a vice president that's going to be just as voracious for the agenda in J.D. Vance.
Yeah, no, I think
our 4 years is more or less okay in terms of from that position.
Right.
But how much opposition are they going to come against? Now that we don't know.
Yeah. Well, again, it's just when you see this kind of stuff and realize what's happening, you know that. But here's the really great thing. What I love, the President Trump's already said when he comes in, he's going to put crippling sanctions on the criminal court, personally and the court. And that means, guys, you're done. You're done with America. You're done buying our goods, shopping, anything to do around the world with America. You're done. Nail them. I say nail them to the wall. These people are evil. They're wrong. They're doing these wicked things. It is Satan. It is demonic, and it needs to be dealt with. And I'm so thankful we have a president, whether he sees it all spiritually or not. I'm so glad he's going to come in and do these things. And you see God's hand.
Yes.
This is God putting President Trump in place to defend the nation of Israel. That's what's happening. It's not about President Trump. It's about God. And I'm not even getting into the thing of whether President Trump's godly or not godly. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not judging him as a person at all. It could be anybody. I'm simply saying God is putting people in place to do what he wants to do, to protect his nation the way he wants to protect them, to keep the end times going the way he wants to go, because God is the restrainer. And he's the one, the Holy Spirit, is restraining the demonic realm. He allows them a certain amount of leeway, but he's not going to allow them, you know, too much. Until the restrainer is removed, if you will. And so I just can't wait to see the ICC just be crippled and nailed to the wall. I can't wait to see some of these other situations just dealt with, because there's a sense of right and wrong and justice in the heart of every believer. And this fire burns. Like, this is wrong. And it's not about judging other people that somehow we're righteous and others aren't. No, we're all sinners. Saved by grace, but there's right and there's wrong, and there's so much wrong going on in the world apart from the whole sinner issue that you love to see God doing something, saying, look, we're going to shut this down, at least part of it. And look, if I get this excited about the potential of a man, think about when Jesus comes back and rules the world, there's going to be such rejoicing and excitement of true righteousness from top to bottom, worldwide. That's just how it is. I can't wait.
Well, that's the emotionless and passionless Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will go through the blockchain and come out more valuable than cryptocurrency.
There you go.
It will become podcast episode number 345. Available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
Only one piece of mail And actually, I've got, well, you've got the mail too, so you can actually,
I do.
You can actually do that.
Yes. I do. Okay. I did it. Sorry.
I thought you were adding the sound effect
for
me.
No, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
I couldn't help it. I'm involved in everything today.
Yes, you are.
I'm just involved.
You're like the, well, you're like the office octopus. Your tentacles are in everything.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay. One question, Pastor Mark. This comes from Matthew, who enjoys Signs of the Times in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Love it. Love it, Matthew. And just get out of Canada. No, I'm just kidding.
He's got, well, maybe not anymore. Maybe if it becomes the 51st state, then he can stay there.
It becomes a big, beautiful state of the United States.
Maybe Matthew can be a governor of the province of one of the areas
there. There you go.
Anyway, his question is about 10 regions and kingdoms. He says, ever since Trump and Trudeau met in Mar-a-Lago in late November, Trump has teased Trudeau about Canada becoming the 51st state, and the idea of Canada joining the U.S. has been talked about quite a bit, even more with Trudeau resigning.
Yes.
Maybe not as much as joining as a state, but joining U.S. in a union similar to the EU. Could this be steering us towards 10 regions or kingdoms that will be in place during the tribulation that you recently talked about? Just an interesting thought. Personally, I'd like to say, welcome to Canada, America.
There you go. Well, you know what? Even as I said, you are an astute radio guy today. This is an astute listener.
Yes.
This is really right on target here, Matthew. Again, look, is this the forming together of the 10 kingdoms? No, it's not. However, You're intimating, could this be leading that way? I do think this is opening the door to those types of discussions. You know, when he first started doing this, I thought that, wow, look what's happening here. The first time he did it, hey, we're going to make Canada the 51st state. Hey, we're going to do this. I thought he's trolling.
We just thought it was bravado.
Yeah, just trolling, giving him a hard time. We're taking over. You know, it's going to be, it's going to be called, instead of Canada, it will be, Trumpeta or something. That's the kind of stuff he does. And I was, but here's the thing, Greg, he's serious.
Yeah.
He really wants Canada to be absorbed into America. I really believe that. He's talking about Greenland, again, being controlled by America. He's talking about the Panama Canal being taken back by America.
That's a separate issue that's got some definite merit, but yes.
Yeah, my point is,
yes,
it's not about the different things and what region or what's, it's about the expansion of thinking of uniting a larger unity in the world.
Yes.
That's exactly what's going to happen in the revived Roman Empire. We're going to see somehow the world's going to be broken up probably into 10 regions. It might be 10 literal nations. There's going to be one of 10 literal kings over it. We know that, whether it's literal nations, regions, I don't know. But the bottom line is yes, there are going to be these 10 kings and the world's going to unite as one. So this is going to happen. When President Trump started this stuff, it gave me that kind of, it's almost like a foreshadowing. It's like this, it's like, you can feel that spirit of unifying the world together in this oneness. And we mentioned this a while back.
About a regional currency called the Amero. Remember that?
Yeah, where they said they were going to link Canada and Mexico and America and have a currency that was, here's the thing a lot of people don't know. Okay, right now, currently, the UN has divided the world up into 10 regions.
They did that in the 50s, by the way.
It's been there a long time.
Yeah.
We are divided up into 10 regions in the UN, the world is. And they've linked certain nations together in this 10-region world. Well, our region is Canada, America, and Mexico. And so when they start talking about these regions, now they start talking about, well, let's have a currency for those regions. Well, then that wouldn't work if you broke us up into regions. We'd need a common currency. That's where digital currency comes in. That's where a mark comes in, as you make the digital currency even better and more effective and easier to use. But so, is this the coming together of the 10 toes and the 10 kings and the 10 kingdoms? No, it's not yet. But is this kind of like a precursor? Is this kind of like an expanding of the thought process of seeing kind of, I think maybe. And it's very interesting to me to watch as this happens, because remember, again, this is going to come together and going to formulate, and I don't know. I find this
like
intriguing.
Is this like sending up a prophetic trial balloon?
I don't know if anybody
in seeing because
the enemy, you mean, like Satan sending up a trial balloon, who'd be sending it up?
Yeah, just kind of like how COVID was. COVID was a trial balloon for global control.
Yeah, that's right.
In that sense, it really wasn't about protecting anyone. It was about controlling everyone.
Testing the waters. Yeah.
And so, and again, not necessarily Trump understanding what he's proposing is part of that. But again, when God says that Nebuchadnezzar is my servant, That means that in God's sovereignty, God can use anyone for whatever he wants to do.
That's
and
right.
In this case, beginning to float ideas about the joining, at least from a regional standpoint.
Yeah.
And then when you get that, then you eat the elephant one bite at a time, and now that happens all over the globe.
Well, you know, you're right, Greg, and I'll tell you, here's what I see. Look, I don't believe that President Trump is the Antichrist.
No, not at all.
The Ten Kingdoms are coming.
No.
But let me say this. You see this kind of headwind here with the mindset of a guy coming on the scene. Again, it talks about the Antichrist coming on with intrigue, about a guy coming on the scene with intrigue and coming in peacefully, and the whole world bowing down to him. That certainly does not fit President Trump, because
right.
so many people are against it. He doesn't
right.
fit the model at all.
No.
But there's this whole picture of one man right now that has so much power in the world. He does. He has more power than any man in the world. Coming in and saying, I'm going to take over regions and change countries and rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, and I'm going to do all these things. And he's probably going to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like this precursor to when this guy does show up, when
yeah.
the Antichrist does come on the scene.
Yeah.
Because remember, first these 10 kingdoms have to be in place, and then once they're in place, he rises up with this intrigue right in the middle of them.
Yeah.
He yanks three of them down right away. And you've got the seven remaining. He's the eighth, but they're still broken up in the 10 kingdoms, however that's going to work. Yeah. And then the whole thing starts with the Antichrist. So it really is like a foreshadow of what's to come. And I
yeah.
watch this. Even the weird, you talk about a foreshadow. The Bible talks about the Antichrist being injured, where he gets blinded in his right eye, and then and one of his arms becomes crippled. And you know, that assassination attempt, it hit him on the right side, right? And again, if there was, say, when the Antichrist came on the scene, whenever he shows up, if he gets like shot in the head on the right side, if he's blinded in one eye, that would cripple one of his arms because of the brain. And then you see, maybe he really dies and Satan goes inside of him and he gets repossessed. Kind of like what Satan wanted to do with Moses' body.
Yeah.
And or it's a fake death and resurrection. Greg, it's almost like there's this, President Trump is almost like this picture of what's to come. And it's pretty freaky. Again, I don't think he's anything to do with any of that or evil. I'm not saying that. I'm thankful he's our president, and
yeah.
I support him. But I'm saying, when you see what's coming up, this is intriguing.
But you know something, Pastor Mark? That really makes sense, because when we take a look at the Old Testament, and we go from Genesis up through Malachi up to the point when Jesus is introduced to the world, the Bible chronicles for us forerunners.
Right.
People that were like in type like Christ, but not Christ. We think of Joseph
yep.
in his life. We think of David.
Yep.
The list goes on. But the world had that and was chronicled for us as a precursor to the real thing.
Yeah.
To a foreshadowing
yeah.
of what's to come.
Yeah.
And then the real thing came.
Yeah.
So now, and again, when we think of the Antichrist, when
yeah.
we think of Satan wanting to mock or imitate Jesus, why wouldn't he want his own forerunners
yeah.
to come before him? And then when he shows up, he's the real Antichrist
yeah.
versus these guys that we've always thought, well, that's got to be the Antichrist. Well, no, but we see foreshadowings of certain things.
You think Trump was tough? Look at this guy.
Exactly.
He's a beast.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's a beast.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to Trump.
Or the beast.
The beast. And when it comes to President Trump in this country, and you've used this analogy before, and it might be good to just mention it again, and that's the analogy when we look at the life of Samson in the Bible, and it's not just Samson's personality, but it's the politics of the day. It's what Israel was up against in the day
right.
and her enemies of the day, and what kind of leader Israel needed
that's
at
right.
that moment
that's right.
was exactly what Israel got
that's
in
right.
Samson.
That's right.
And there's so many character
and
traits.
He was not a righteous man.
He wasn't, but there's so many character traits that you've chronicled for us before, the similarities between Trump and Samson.
Yeah, no, it really is. God uses who he wants. And again, I'm not judging whether or not President Trump knows the Lord or doesn't, but again, you don't see a lot of fruit there of salvation. But the point is, that's not the issue.
No.
I'm happy he was elected. I think he's the one that God, the man of the hour. I think he's God's using to defend Israel. I think he's going to be a merciful in at least slowing things down in our country. I think we're still headed for disaster, but slowing things down. And just the impact he's having, Greg, already worldwide. I mean, you talked about, you know, Trudeau, you know, resigning or saying that he's going to step down because of all the pressure and all these other leaders bowing down. It's like he's already affecting the entire world. Well, the Antichrist will affect the entire world, and everyone will bow down to him. Look, Trump's enemies are going down to see him there at Mar-a-Lago. And think about it, when the Antichrist comes into power, everybody's going to bow down. It says that all the other kingdoms will divert their authority and power to the beast. They're going to turn it over willingly and say, nobody can stop you. They can't stop the beast. We give it all to you. They're going to be bowing down wherever the beast headquarter is. They're all going to be going there and playing the game. I mean, this is such a picture.
That is, wow, that it is really, really is. That is such a picture. You're like an astute host.
I don't know what's happening here. That word's coming up today. That word's, but I will say this, you know, as far as Trudeau.
Did we answer his question, by the way?
We did.
Okay.
I think we did, because, yeah, I don't think it's the 10 kingdoms was the answer, but I do think this could be kind of a foreshadowing of what's to come. But I will say this, with Trudeau resigning, maybe Doonesbury will come back. He may start doing cartoons again. I don't know. Only time will tell.
Oh, my. So here's parodies, plagues, disasters. No. pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This article is from the AP Network News, dated January 8th. Of course, as we talked about at the very beginning of the program, this is all about, and again, there's so many wildfires now, many more than just Palisades and Eaton.
Yeah.
But there's still, the whole Southern California area, all these fires for the most part, except for maybe, I think, there's a one, maybe two inland fires that they've got some containment to, but the rest of them still don't.
Yeah, this article is extremely outdated. I just left it as kind of a springboard.
A teaser.
Yeah, let me read it as a springboard. Yep. But again, it says in a massive wildfires roaring through Los Angeles left neighborhoods in ruins Wednesday, killing people. I think 10 so far have been confirmed. Over 10,000 homes destroyed. Threatening landmarks made famous by Hollywood as desperate residents escaped through flames, hurricane force winds, and towering columns of smoke. Three major blazes that erupted just a day earlier blanketed the city with a dangerous thick cloud of smoke and ash and destroyed homes across the metropolitan area. From the Pacific Coast inland to Pasadena, home of the famed Rose Parade, one of the fires was the most destructive in modern history in the city of L.A. Now they're saying these fires may be the most destructive in California history. And that's amazing. When you think about all the fires in California, Greg, did you see some of the videos where the dark cloud and the red, and you see underneath, you have this dark sky and red with Los Angeles in the background, and they're showing the videos. It was just horrifying of what's happening there. But again, it's you know, some of the fires are not contained at all. I know there's some others are working on, but now you got Sunday, they're expecting more gusty winds to kick into gear. They can't get this put out. And if you got guys walking around lighting them with their little gas things or whatever, if this is a terrorist thing or just evil people, whatever the case might be, I mean, Greg, this devastation may be far from over. I hate to say that, especially if they don't have water to put it out, if they have less funds to provide for their firemen to go out there. I mean, you're watching California burn up, and it's just amazing to me to see. It's shocking, but at the same time, and again, heartbreaking, but, you know, again, it is what it is. And again, just reminding us to be praying for the people of California. And, you know, who knows, Greg, this may be even another mass exodus. A million people, they say, have already left California over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. I think about a quarter of that, I mean, 750,000 of them came to Knoxville. I'm not sure where the other 250,000 went, probably spread out some of the other states. But we're happy to have them. I love the California people. Just what a blessing they are. So I have no problem with that. I'm joking. But either way, they're saying now, because of this, there'll probably be another mass exodus. And here's why. Not that people want to leave, but they said they're going to have to. Because because now they can't rebuild. Did you know, look, even for those, Greg, who have insurance, it'll be 2 years through their process and their city process to be able to rebuild.
You know, that happened in Northern California when those Northern California fires started in 2017.
Yeah.
And the environmental policies that the state of California has
ridiculous.
Are so over the top. It's 3 or 4 times as hard to build the house that you're trying to replace from when it was originally built with all of the laws and regulations that they heap on people. It's not conducive to living. And back to what you said at the very beginning about putting people
Make people great again. I know I say that sillily, but that's a slogan that people would grab a hold of, because people right now, they're last. We're putting insects and little tiny smelt fish and stuff, crickets and stuff before people. It is insane. People come first. And so, again, don't get me started on that again, but I mean, it really upsets me.
But I'll add this too, because I just saw this on the news today that they talked about that in the, in the 50s and 60s, I think it was, I don't know if it was that far back, but it's been a while. California used to have established fire lines, and they were put in place to to if something like this were to happen, that they would be able to prevent or contain
and protect the people.
And protect the people.
The people, yes.
The people. And then they said that they had to get rid of the fire lines because the environmentalists came along because of some sort of migration of some sort of rodent, a mouse or something. They didn't actually say the name of the species or whatever scientific name,
yes,
whatever. But yet it just goes back to what you were saying,
yeah,
that they have so disregarded human. But again, back to what you said again, that we do not wrestle against regulations
That's
and
right.
policies
That's right.
and governments and environmentalists. This is a spiritual
yes,
battle specifically designed to achieve Satan's goal that Jesus stated for us in John 10, that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
That's exactly right. I mean, to take down firewalls, to protect a mouse,
yep,
and to let all the people die, it is evil and it is wrong. It's ridiculous. And I hope you hate to see something this tragic happen to wake certain people up. And I'm not blaming the people of California, and my heart breaks for all the people that are suffering. I'm saying for the city officials, for the government officials that are so blinded by their agendas and their ideologies to put people last and everything else first, I hope that the pressure is so great on them and they all get kicked out, that anybody new that gets in, that the pressure is going to be, no, people come first. Make people great again. Let's get people in. Forget this other stuff. Take care of the people.
Amen. All right, we've got a couple of articles here in the church to finish off this edition,
yes,
of Signs of the Times. Our first one comes from crosswalk.com, dated from last year, December 31st. Global religious freedom declines as government restrictions hit record high. Again, back to government again.
Yes, and why is this interesting to me? I put Revelation 13 as the reference. I know that may seem obscure for some of you, especially you prophecy students, but catch this. Look, it is going to be the limiting of religion that will lead to the one world religion. I do believe other,
yes,
religions will still be able to practice to some degree. I'm not saying they'll be shut down initially, but remember, there's a final 7 years that God has to deal with the nation of Israel while we're having the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven after the rapture. And at the midway point of that 7.5 years, at the 3.5 midway point, that's when the Antichrist stands up on the Temple Mount and says, I am God. And he's going to have, and puts his image up of himself, and as everybody worship him. And then there will be, you talk about government restriction on religion, Greg, there will be no religion other than you bow down to me, and that is it. I am your religion. I am your God. You bow down to me. And that's why this really got my attention, because as you see a pressure coming in on other religions, eventually it's going to get to where there will be nothing allowed but him.
So back in Jesus' day, when you could practice your own religion, but once a year you had to go pinch incense.
That's right.
Okay, to Caesar.
That's right.
And say that he was Lord of all.
That's right.
What does the Bible tell us about that component being a part of, in the end times when the Antichrist is ruling and reigning, to what extent are people going to be allowed to do the same as they were allowed in Caesar's day?
Exactly. Well, the Bible doesn't really give details about that, Greg, but I believe there's going to be a mirror here. I think you're going to see the same thing happen, because in all these prophetic things, you see this dual prophecy going on, this near and this far. I believe you're going to see, when the Antichrist comes into power, an allowance. Matter of fact, you will see an allowance of at least a major world religion, because the woman rides the beast in Revelation. She represents the religious system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think personally, the Bible doesn't make it clear, but I personally believe, based on the first Roman Empire, and this will be the revived Roman Empire, I personally believe you're going to see an allowance that first 3.5 years for other religions to practice, as long as they somehow acknowledge the Antichrist and the world government. There's going to be some type of acknowledgement. You can have your religion under these restrictions, and you still do it. I think that's going to happen.
But then,
that's right. Then at that 3.5 year point, no. Now everybody bows down to worship him and him alone. He'll have 3.5 years of disaster. Think about it. Satan has been wanting to ascend to the throne of God forever, since he's been around, rather. Not forever, but since he's been created. He said, I will ascend to the farthest sides of the north. He's going to get 3.5 years of just this earth, not even the universe or heaven. 3.5 years on this earth where he is to run it. And it's going to be a total disaster the entire time. Bowls poured out, trumpets blasting, the earth on fire, things being polluted. That's going to be his kingdom of darkness. So even his little moment of fame is going to be a total disaster. And then that guy gets locked up for 1,000 years and thrown into a lake of fire after that.
I think it's very interesting, because when you look at the biblical precepts of certain things about our Lord, One of them is that God does not share his glory with anyone.
That's right. That's right.
And at that moment when the Antichrist stands up and declares, it says he's God.
Yeah.
God's going to go, oh yeah?
That's right.
Let me show you who the real God is, because you're not going to get any of my glory.
That's right. And guess what? That's when he begins to judge the gods of the earth.
Exactly.
Just like he did in Exodus with, or like he did with Moses. You know, judging in the Ten Plagues.
Yeah.
He was judging the gods of Egypt. I think God's going to be judging the gods of mankind during the Great Tribulation.
You know, when Jesus said, it is finished.
Yes.
And he gave up his spirit. And then all of the things that the Bible chronicles for us happened.
Yeah.
The ripping of the curtain, the veil.
Yep.
The dead coming out.
That's right.
Everything in Scripture indicates an immediacy of those things happening at the moment that Jesus died and said, it is finished.
That's right.
I believe the same is going to happen when the Antichrist stands up in the Temple Mount, declares himself as God, and at that very moment, the judgments begin.
I believe you're right. I think it's going to mirror it perfectly. I think you're going to see you have the real Christ, and then you're going to have the false Christ, the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, and it's going to be disastrous for him and not glorious as it was for the Christ. Now, believe it or not, we didn't even read any of the article yet.
Government
restrictions on religion are at high rise worldwide, according to a new study that recorded a record high number of countries with elevated levels of government-imposed limitations. The Pew Forum's 2024 report on the issue found that 59 countries had either high or very high levels of government restrictions on religion in 2022, compared to 55 countries in 2021 in this new report. Again, it says the restrictions were very high. Among the countries on the list that were very high were Afghanistan, China, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. And so, again, this, I think, is just a precursor to where you're going to see more and more restrictions as the Antichrist gets closer and closer to his return.
Well, speaking of the Antichrist, let's talk about him for a minute.
Yes, because this is wild.
ChristianPost.com has an article dated January 7th saying and asking the question, is Russia restraining the Antichrist?
Now, let me just say this before I read the article. I don't believe Russia is restraining the Antichrist. The Bible says God is the restrainer. He's restraining it. But what's interesting to me, Greg, is parts of Russia think they are restraining the Antichrist. And you know what? I've always wondered, what is going on in Ukraine? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. But there's more going on in Ukraine than anyone knows other than the people that are in government that are involved. Because why are we pouring so much money into it and doing all that we're doing? Something's going on with Ukraine that I believe is going to come out later, that's going to be majorly prophetic and have something to do. I'm not saying the Antichrist is from there. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I don't know what's going on. But listen to this article. Ever since the head of the Russian Orthodox Church declared Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine a holy war, if you know he'd done that, which initially began in 2014, but saw a dramatic escalation in the invasion of February 2022, has taken even on more religious overtones. On the 27th, the World Russian People's Council, headed by the Russian Orthodox Church Patriarch Kirill, a staunch Putin ally, declared, and I quote, special military operation in Ukraine is nothing less than a holy war in which Russia and its people, defending the one spiritual space of holy Russia, fulfill the mission of the hiding. They refer to something called the hiding that protects the world from the onslaught of globalism and the victory of the West that fell into Satanism. This hiding, scholars say, is believed to be a reference to a long-standing mystical tradition in Russian theology, which holds that Russia is the defender of Christendom.
That is wild.
In this theology, Moscow is often seen as the third Rome. Well, there's only two Romes, so sorry.
Following
the fall of Constantinople, in a place where the forces of good are believed to be fighting against the rise of the Antichrist figure in the book of Revelation, according to Sarah Riccardi Schwartz, assistant professor of religion and anthropology at Northeastern University. And I quote, there's a long-running idea in mythical Russian theology that Russia is holding back the Antichrist. So they think they're the restraining force. And it's doing it specifically through the prayers of a departed czar, Nicholas II, Schwartz told Northeastern, own publication in March. They believe Tsar Nicholas II is in heaven, interceding on behalf of them, and through his intercessions, Russia is successfully the restrainer holding back the Antichrist. Is that a wild theology or what? Who knew that? So they believe this is a holy war. Look, it's one thing to say we're going to give up because we can't fight anymore. If you really believe it's a holy war to save the planet, you're not going to give up. You will use nuclear weapons. You will not let this. I mean, this gets even more dangerous now that I know more than I know, because you're not going to give this up. This is worth dying for if you really believe it. Now, does Putin really believe it, or is he using this as an excuse to fight in Ukraine? With all that said, let me say this. as the show comes to an end. Look, there's something more going on in Ukraine. I've sensed it in my spirit from the day one this thing started. Maybe this is all it is. There's a spiritual connection. There is something going on that is not in it's not the norm. We are fighting too hard as a world for that place. There's something going on we don't know. And I don't know what it is, but it's going to come out.
That's it was the same sense that you had when COVID first started.
Yeah.
After that first month, it was like, no, there's something else going on here.
I knew right then. Yeah. I knew something's happening, and I believe that something's happening in Ukraine. I think we're going to find out. I don't know what it is, but let me tell you what is happening. Jesus Christ is moving in hearts right now on this radio broadcast. Some of you are listening, God is touching your heart, saying, look, I can't believe all this stuff. Can't believe the Bible says this about this, and we see it happening in the world. And he's showing you that he's real. That he died for you on the cross, that it's not just some religious thing. Jesus is real. He died for you. The Bible says that right now his spirit is convicting some of you of your sin. And if you will confess your sin right now on this radio broadcast or watching streaming, you confess your sin. You ask God to forgive you. You say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I believe his blood paid for my sins. If you believe that from your heart and you confess that with your mouth and you turn from your sin, you repent and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. The Bible says you will be born again. And no matter what we see happening in this world, you've got your reservations in heaven, not only at the wedding supper of the Lamb when the rapture takes place, the removal of believers from the earth. You have your reservations in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory forever. Make that decision. Pray that prayer and God bless you guys.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thank you so much. Folks, for anyone that's listening local in the Knoxville area, you know we're under a lot of snow. And so if you are, the men's ministry Saturday morning meeting has been canceled. Just a little PSA. Otherwise, we will hopefully be thawed out and see you next Friday for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.